Attention, attention, this is History Lost in Time.
And welcome to episode 43 of the History Lost in Time podcast. This podcast is being published in English and German on YouTube, Spotify and Podcast.de, with social media presences on Blue Sky and Instagram.
The topic of this episode.
In this episode, I will talk about the battleships of the Helgoland class, sometimes also referred to as the Ostfriesland class battleships.
Political agenda and background.
None. This is the logical continuation of my series regarding German battleships.
The sources that were used.
I will use the same sources as in the other battleship episodes. The sources in short: Admiral Scheer, Deutschlands Hochseeflotte im Weltkrieg, Germany's High Seas Fleet During the World War, published by Verlag August Scherl, Berlin, probably 1919, date of the foreword. Ulrich Israel, Jürgen Gebauer, Panzerschiffe um 1900, translation Ironclads around 1900, published by Brandenburgisches Verlagshaus, Berlin 1998. Günter Kroschel, August Ludwig Evers, Die deutsche Flotte 1848 bis 1945, translation The German Fleet 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Lohse Eising, Wilhelmshaven, 1962, Third Improved Edition 1964. Hans-Jürgen Hansen, Die Schiffe der deutschen Flotten 1848 bis 1945, translation The Ships of the German Fleets 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Bechtermünz, licensed version for the Weltbild Verlag Augsburg 1998. And as usual, Wikipedia. The battleships of the Helgoland class, sometimes also called Ostfriesland class, were built only a short time after the ships of the Nassau class and served within the German High Seas Fleet in World War I. They were the last German battleships that didn't use turbines. They were slated to replace obsolete coastal defense ships and ironclads of the German Navy. Therefore, they were ordered even before the Nassau-class ships were operational. Since the 1880s, naval technology had improved really quickly. Warships were obsolete after a few years and basically pointless after about 20 years. New technologies and improvements of existing technologies emerged faster than ships could be built. The main guns in particular had changed a lot. The German Navy had started in the early 1890s with slow-firing 28cm guns on the Brandenburg class. In the late 1890s, these were replaced by quick-firing 24cm guns on the Kaiser Friedrich III and Wittelsbach class ships. In the early and mid-1900s, the Braunschweig, Deutschland and Nassau-class ships had used quick-firing 28cm guns. Could they still be used? Let's check out the competition abroad. Usually, I make comparisons with the top navy at the time, the Royal Navy, and the direct opponent in Europe, France. I will make a comparison with the Royal Navy, but this time I will replace France with the US and Russia. The Helgoland ships were built between 1908 and 1912. Around the same time, Great Britain built the HMS Neptune from 1908 to 1911, the US built the South Carolina class from 1906 to 10, and the Russians built the Gangut class from 1909 to 1915. HMS Neptune was designed as a single ship, not a member of a class, as the British Admiralty at the time briefly underestimated the production capabilities of Germany. Construction started in January 1909 and she was commissioned in January of 1911. She displaced 20,000 tons, had a length of 166.4 meters, a width of 25.9 meters, and a draft of 8.7 meters. The turbines produced 25,000 horsepower, which allowed the ship a top speed of 21 knots and a range of 11,700 kilometers or 7,300 miles. The crew had a maximum strength of 813 men. On the surface, it was a slightly improved St. Vincent-class ship, very similar to HMS Dreadnought. However, the main guns were arranged differently. There was still one turret at the front, two at the back, and two on the wings. However, the wing turrets were not side by side. One was at the front on the left, the other at the back on the right. Due to the way the superstructure was constructed, it was possible to fire a broadside with all five turrets. However, in practice, this was only done in emergencies, because the blast wave would have damaged the superstructure. The main guns were still using a caliber of 305mm, and there were 10 of them. The secondary armament consisted of 16 individual 102mm guns, and then there were three 45cm torpedo launchers. The armor had been improved compared to her predecessors. The Neptune served until 1921 and was then scrapped. The American competition was the South Carolina class, which consisted of the battleships USS South Carolina BB-26 and USS Michigan BB-27. Both were laid down in December 1906 and commissioned in January and March 1910. They displaced 18,000 tons, had a length of 138 meters, a width of 24.5 meters, and a draft of 7.5 meters. So they were a lot smaller than the Neptune. They also didn't use turbines, but conventional engines that produced 16,500 horsepower. Top speed was 18.5 knots. The range was 12,900 kilometers or 8,000 miles. The crew consisted of a maximum of 932 men. The main armament consisted of 12 305mm guns in four turrets, meaning each turret had three guns. Two of the turrets were at the front and two at the back. They were all placed at the center line of the ship and super firing, meaning on both sides, the back turret could fire over the front turret. This means that the ships were able to fire with six guns at the front and the back, and with all 12 guns at the sides. This was a very modern and very efficient setup. The secondary armament consisted of 22 76mm guns, 8 37mm guns, and two 53cm torpedo launchers. The South Carolina served from 1910 to 1922. Finally, let's check out the Russian Gangut-class battleships. These were the Gangut, Poltava, Petropavlovsk, and Sevastopol. They were laid down in 1909, but only finished in late 1914 and early 1915, so during World War I. The reason for that were production and delivery problems with the engines and the turrets. The ships were really big. They displaced 24,800 tons, had a length of 181.2 meters, a width of 26.9 meters, and a draft of 9 meters. The four turbines produced 52,000 horsepower, which allowed the ships a top speed of 24.1 knots. The range was limited to only 5,900 kilometers or 3,700 miles. The crew consisted of 1,149 men. The ships were armed with 12 305mm guns. The turrets were placed at the center line, however turrets 2 and 3 were surrounded by superstructure. So they could only fire at the sides, but not at the front or rear. The broadside of 12 guns was very heavy, but the ships were only able to use 3 guns if they fired forward or back. The secondary battery consisted of 16 120mm guns, 3 76mm guns, and 4 45cm torpedo launchers. The Gangut survived both world wars, although in case of the Poltava only as a sunk block ship, and were scrapped in the late 1940s and 50s. At first glance, the Gangut ships seemed to be the obvious strongest ships. They were very large, very fast, and had impressive firepower. However, their gun arrangement wasn't ideal. Their armor was below average, had some critical weaknesses, and their torpedo protection was underwhelming. The Neptune had good armor and good firepower on her side. The South Carolinas were the most modern when it came to design, and they had comparable firepower. However, they were also the slowest ships by far. So what about the Helgoland ships? A lot of thinking went into the main guns. A modern arrangement like on the South Carolinas was considered, but ultimately discarded because of design limits. The hexagon of the Nassau class was kept, one turret at the front, one at the back, and four on the sides. So what about the caliber of the guns? No first-class navy was using anything below 305mm any longer, and there were reports that the British were planning to introduce 340mm guns. So the Germans had to abandon their precious 280mm guns and upgrade to 305mm. The good range and good rate of fire were kept though. The ships had grown in size again. The Helgoland ships had a length of 167.2 meters, a width of 28.5 meters, and a draft of 8.94 meters. They displaced a maximum of 24,700 tons. Compared to the Nassau class, the stability of the ships had been significantly improved. Due to the high costs, the Helgoland class ships did not use turbines. Instead, old-fashioned engines were installed. They produced around 30,000 horsepower. The sources vary between 27,000 and 34,000, and accelerated them to a theoretical top speed of 20.5 knots. In practice, the ships reached up to 21.3 knots. Their range was 10,200 kilometers or 6,000 miles. The main armament consisted of 12 30.5cm guns. The secondary battery consisted of 14 15cm guns. For close combat, the ships were equipped with 14 8.8cm guns. Shortly after the outbreak of the war, two of these guns were replaced with 8.8cm anti-air guns. Following the Battle of Jutland, all remaining 8.8cm guns were removed. The Helgoland ships were also equipped with 6 50cm torpedo launchers. The defensive armor was more or less similar to that on the Nassau-class ships, but had been slightly improved in some places. The crew consisted of 42 officers and 1,071 sailors. Four ships were built, the SMS Helgoland, the SMS Ostfriesland, the SMS Thüringen and the SMS Oldenburg. Construction began between autumn 1908 and spring 1909. The ships were launched between autumn 1909 and summer 1910 and commissioned between summer 1911 and spring 1912. SMS Helgoland was built by the Howaldtswerke shipyard in Kiel, SMS Ostfriesland by the Imperial Shipyard in Wilhelmshaven, SMS Thüringen by AG Weser in Bremen and SMS Oldenburg by the Schichau Works in Danzig. Before World War I, their service consisted of training missions and voyages to other countries. When the war broke out, the Helgoland ships were part of the first battleship squadron in the North Sea. The goal of the German fleet was to entice the British Navy out of its harbors with provocative pushes into the North Sea. This included coastal bombardment missions. These were performed by cruisers and battle cruisers, while the battleships followed at some distance, ready to engage the British once they showed up. However, this never happened, which is why the Helgoland-class ships were often used, but never had any enemy contact. In summer 1915, the Helgoland ships were transferred to the Baltic Sea in order to support the push into the Bay of Riga. However, they didn't come into contact with the enemy. The ships saw their first combat during the Battle of Jutland in early summer 1916, the biggest naval battle of World War I. There, the German High Seas Fleet and the British Grand Fleet met each other. The Helgoland ships, as part of the 1st Squadron, were at the center of the German fleet. The SMS Helgoland, SMS Thüringen and SMS Ostfriesland engaged several British light cruisers and destroyers in various combinations. The ships participated at the sinkings of the destroyers HMS Nestor and HMS Nomad. Shortly before the German fleet changed course, the Helgoland ships briefly engaged the British battleships. SMS Ostfriesland, SMS Helgoland and SMS Thüringen opened fire on the HMS Warspite, but due to the course change, only Ostfriesland was able to keep up the fire for more than a few minutes. She scored several hits on the Warspite. SMS Thüringen fired several times on the battleship Malaya without scoring a hit. After that, the evening and the worsening visual conditions ended the engagement. During the third and final battle about turn, the Helgoland was hit by a large caliber shell, probably from either HMS Barham or HMS Valiant, and was lightly damaged. She took on 80 tons of water, but remained operational. When darkness fell, the British attacked the Germans several times with light cruisers and destroyers. The Helgoland ships were heavily engaged in these fights. The SMS Oldenburg and the SMS Helgoland fired several times on British destroyers. The ships participated in the sinking of the HMS Fortune. However, the SMS Oldenburg received a critical hit. A destroyer hit and destroyed the searchlight of the ship. The debris rained down on the bridge, wounding the captain and killing and wounding several other bridge crew members, including the first officer and the helmsman. For a short while, the ship had nobody at the helm, until the wounded captain took the helm himself and returned the ship back into the German line. Shortly after 1 a.m. at night, the SMS Thüringen, the SMS Ostfriesland, and several other battleships opened fire on the British armored cruiser HMS Black Prince. After several salvos, the totally outclassed armored cruiser was destroyed in a massive explosion. Half an hour later, the Thüringen damaged the destroyer Turbulent. The Oldenburg scored several hits on the destroyer Ardent. While returning to the harbor, Ostfriesland hit a mine but was still able to return to the harbor under her own power. She was escorted by several torpedo boats and an aircraft. Her top speed was reduced to 10 knots for a while. The mine killed one sailor and wounded 10. The Thüringen had not been damaged in the battle. The Helgoland had only suffered minor damage, and the Oldenburg was still operational despite the hit. However, she had suffered 8 dead and 14 wounded. For the remainder of the war, the ships did not engage the enemy anymore. In 1916, two more pushes into the North Sea took place, but the fleet did not encounter the enemy. In April 1917, the SMS Helgoland accidentally rammed the new battlecruiser SMS Hindenburg. During Operation Albion in 1917, the ships were used in a defensive role in the Baltic Sea. In spring 1918, they again took part in a push into the North Sea, which was, however, aborted without achieving anything. The ships of the Helgoland class were slated to participate in the last mission planned by Admiral Scheer in late October 1918. Scheer wanted to improve Germany's position at the negotiating table with one final victory at sea. However, the crews of the ships considered this mission to be suicide and therefore refused to follow orders. That caused the mission to be cancelled. This mass refusal of orders was also a factor in the sailors' uprising and the German Revolution in November 1918. Originally, the Helgoland ships were supposed to form the core of the German post-war navy. Due to their obsolete engines, the Allies were not interested in them. After the German fleet was scuttled in Scapa Flow, however, the Allies demanded them as compensation. The SMS Helgoland was transferred to Britain and scrapped in the early 1920s. The bow ornament was returned to Germany and is currently on display at the Military History Museum of the Bundeswehr in Dresden. The SMS Oldenburg was transferred to the Japanese, but they had no interest in the ship and had it scrapped immediately in the Netherlands. The SMS Thüringen was transferred to France and almost scuttled by the crew during the transfer. She was used as a target ship at Gavre until 1923. Parts of the ship were then scrapped on site, but large portions of the hull still exist there. The SMS Ostfriesland was transferred to an American crew on April 9, 1920 and transferred to the US. In July 1921, the Ostfriesland would play one last major role in history. The US Army Air Force and the US Navy were conducting tests in order to find out how dangerous airstrikes were for capital warships. However, both sides worked against each other. The US Navy wanted the airstrikes to fail in order to prevent its battleships from appearing obsolete. The US Army Air Force wanted to sink the battleships at all cost, which is why it didn't follow the rules. Both sides had agreed upon using 230-pound, 600-pound and 1,000-pound bombs. Following that, an inspection aboard the ship was supposed to take place. The Navy wanted to prevent the use of 2,000-pound bombs. However, General Mitchell used them before the Navy was able to inspect the damages aboard the Ostfriesland. The heavy bombs caused the Ostfriesland to sink in the end. The US Navy was furious over Mitchell's actions and the latter got into serious trouble over this. However, despite justified and unjustified criticism regarding the tests, it had been proven that aircraft could sink capital warships, which is why air defense became more important in the following years. However, many Navy specialists and high-ranking officers still believed that aircraft were not a major concern and that battleships were still the backbone of a modern Navy. They argued that the Ostfriesland had been stationary during the tests. that the aircraft had not been shot at with anti-air guns and that no crew had been aboard, which could have engaged in damage control procedures. The battleship apologists were only silenced by the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, which brutally demonstrated that the era of the battleship was over.
A few finishing words.
The battleships of the Helgoland class were another step forward for the high seas fleet, and they proved themselves in combat. Due to their old-fashioned engines, they had a chance of serving in the post-war Reichsmarine and maybe even in the Kriegsmarine. However, the scuttling of the German fleet in Scapa Flow and the compensation demands of the Allies destroyed this possibility. Two of the ships were more or less scrapped immediately, and the others were used as target ships. The Ostfriesland is remembered in history as the first battleship that was sunk by aircraft.
Thank you. This was History Lost in Time.